Welcome into another edition of the Varsity Podcast. Justin Barney, Sponge Franklin, and man, Sponge, we are in week 16 of the high school football season. Three teams from Florida left standing, one in Georgia, and it is championship week for in Florida. So, Sponge, and Sunshine State football going to crown some champs this week.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we talked about it. We had everything pegged, I think, except for the TC boys who caught the L down in Clearwater. But everything else we thought was going to happen happened, and it's good that we're talking about a couple of local teams that are going to vie for a chance to win it all.
After last year, it's really good to see that. You know, Sponge, last year we were shut out of the state championship bracket for the first time since 2000, I think just like the 10th time in the last 50 years. So not a good season in 2022. And then this year, we kind of had some intuition that a few of these teams would be standing. I would probably say I'm most surprised at Mandarin, even though they did have the talent. Anytime you're talking about that big of a bracket going through the Metro Division on the road every week, that was only my only concern. And I picked Mandarin every week, but I think from a 10,000 foot view, probably a little surprised that Mandarin was able to do it.
Yeah, no, I was fully on board, you know, way early in the season. I didn't have them number one, but I had them one, you know, pretty quickly into the beginning of the year. I just felt like the makeup of what they had was special. They had good, you know, players at all levels, you know, good quarterback, good running backs, you know, stud receiver. Your offensive line was pretty good. The defense was good. That secondary is all world. You know, so it's just a matter of how is this team going to come together? What are they going to do? And they took some of those, you know, early losses, and I think they, you know, figured some things out, and they realized if we play our game and do what we're supposed to do, not turn the ball over, we can win games. And that's kind of what they've done down the stretch.
Yeah, last week they went on the road, fourth straight week in a row for Mandarin. They go
road
down
warriors, man,
to Monarch warriors. And absolutely blast them, 51-21. That game was actually close until late third quarter, early fourth quarter, and Mandarin just put it on them. Teont Weish, another three touchdowns in that game. Drake Stubbs, best game of his career, two picks and a scoop and score for Mandarin. So just everything going right for Mandarin. And you kind of just touched on it a minute ago about their turnovers. And I was out at Mandarin practice last week and talked to Toby Bullock, and he said, you know, really the games we lost outside of the Bartram game in week 11, which just wasn't a good game.
It was just a weird game.
Yeah, it just wasn't a good game all around. But the two games previously were Creekside turnovers, two turnovers on the plus side of the field. That was not good. Creekside controlled the ball and took advantage of that short field position. And then obviously you go down to Lake Mary and give the ball away four times on offense, and you have like a punt block for a touchdown. So, you know, five turnovers in that game. So if Mandarin could eliminate those turnovers and just play some Mandarin football, it helps that their defense is just playing rock solid. Yeah. Jackson Copeland, Grant Pettigrew. I mean, we give the offensive guys a lot of love all the time, but man, Mandarin's defense has come to play.
They've definitely stepped up big, especially going on these road games, you know, playing against some of these power, you know, Orlando teams, and having to go down to Palm Beach and beat a Monarch team. I don't think Monarch was probably as good as a team that could be in this Final Four spot. They just happened to get in there like that from down there. I think, you know, the Central Florida area is usually always the king. They have the big dogs that you got to run through, like the Seminoles, who they knocked off, the Apopkas, who got beat. You know, so now, you know, you get the rematch of a team you beat a couple years ago to win your first state championship. So I feel like right now they've got everything going their way. So it's, you know, this is your final week of preparation. Don't look over anything and just do what you've been doing.
Yeah, it's interesting. They get a rematch against Columbus. I kind of joked with Toby last week. Hey, you see who's on that other side of that bracket? And it's Christopher Columbus, the Explorers, trying to defend their state championship. And for you football fans out there, this is the team that Mandarin beat for its only state championship back in 2018. Bobby Ramsey was coach, Carson Beck, eventual Mr. Football, DeMario Douglas, one of the best two-way stars who's ever played here. Those guys beat Columbus in that game 37-35. And I think Mandarin's got a good chance this week to bring that game home. They play on Friday afternoon. And I do think they can win this game. Again, a good rushing attack, good quarterback. What did Mandarin have to do to win this game for you, Sponge?
Basically, like we just say, obviously, you know, when you go do talking football key points, obviously in big games you can't turn the ball over, which we touched upon that, and that's why they lost two of those games early in the year, you know, just bad turnovers, you know. So my thing is they just need to keep doing what they're doing. Like, when you have a guy like Jermell Jones who can distribute the ball to big-time playmakers like a Jamie French, but more so, too, the ground game with Weiss and Westcott has been tremendous. Mm-hmm. I mean, those dudes are beast. And so when you can have that balance of you can't really pick your poison, do you really want to try to shut this run game down? All right, well, bring more guys in the box. Give me one-on-one matchups right. with Jamie French and some of those guys.
I remember you saying even week one, week two, about Westcott and Weiss. You've kind of been on that hype train since early on in the season. And I think, I mean, to your point, that's why this Mandarin offense has become so lethal is because you've got a passing quarterback who's deadly accurate in Tremell Jones. You got a big-time receiver. And they've got other receivers, too.
They've got other players, too. It's not just Jamie French. They've got other guys, yeah.
So, I mean, they've got some guys. But then you add the running game element of Westcott and Weiss. And Teyon Weiss is a machine. I talked to him out of practice last week and said, you surprised at what you're doing this year? And he said, yeah, I'm just playing ball with my boys and loving it. And they're opening holes for me blocking. And I'm just riding kind of the hot hand. But his season has been remarkable. And I think a big reason why Mandarin is still going and have done as well as it has is because of that ground game and that defense, too.
Yeah, no, that's really, too, what's taken a turn is the defense is playing playoff defense. They're playing stingy, you know, forcing turnovers. Like, you know, we talk about teams, you know, what is the key? You don't turn the ball over, but forcing and creating turnovers, making plays in the secondary like Drake has done back there, high point and big-time interceptions, you know, scooping scores, you know, getting after the quarterback, you know, all that. They're doing everything right now. So, you know, you can't get too ahead of yourself. You can't get too overconfident. You know, one game at a time, as we always say. And this is it. This is the one game, the last game. So now, you know, put together good preparation and just do what you've been doing, man.
Yeah, like, it's been.
I like what they got going on. They've been doing good.
Same here. I really like what they've doing. For Columbus, again, defending 4M state champ, quarterback Alberto Mendoza, completing passes at a 71% clip. So those DBs are going to have their hands full. And they've delivered time and again. A.J. Belgrave Shorter. It's just been he had a great game a couple weeks ago. Drake Stubbs, a big safety, had a good game. And you've just got guys all over that defense. And as Toby, I said, when you look at your 2018 state championship team and then you look at this guy, this team right here, what's the difference? And he said a big difference is back that state championship team, you obviously you're more quarterback-centric, Carson, but you have guys that are playing heavy minutes on both sides of the ball.
Right.
You know, you've got DeMario. You've got another safety back there who was playing receiver, DB. I mean, you've got guys that are going two ways. You don't have that this year.
Yeah.
And the defensive backs this year are just tough for Mandarin.
Totally loaded. I mean, that was the bell cow, too, at the beginning of the year. Those, you know, five-star and Stubbs, that safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your Penn State commits and that corner. You know, you got T-Jack, who left Trinity's over there. He's in, like, the nickel spot. You know, like, they're fully loaded back there in that secondary. So, they just been balling. And, like I say, now it's kind of collectively all – you know, that was what we said way back in week one. You know, it was like, how good can this team be? This was the paper champions of, like, this team is one of the best in the area.
Right.
Could be one of the best in the state. But when you get a new collection of guys, it's like, how do you gel? And guess what? They've found the formula.
They've done it.
Toby's put everything together. The whole staff and crew is bought into what's going on, and everything is going well right now. So, like I say, to lose three games, hey, that's the great thing about high school football. You can lose a few, learn from those mistakes, you know, take what you will, and then just get better as the season goes on, and then finally click, and that's what they're doing right now.
Yeah,
they're
and four games on the road away from home and not just any games. You're not just going to down the road or St. John's County or Nassau County. I mean, you're going 2 and 3 hours away.
Yeah.
Each road trip has been that far, 2 hours and beyond. And, again, you're going to a Lake Mary team. And, you know, I think Mandarin's got to get a state championship this year because Lake Mary next year
with Noah.
And the following year is going to be tough, man. Oh, my goodness. Noah Grubbs, quarterback at Lake Mary. He is going to be something. I talked to Toby Bullock about him last week, and he remarked just how good he was. Mandarin shut Noah Grubbs down. His two worst games of the year came against Mandarin.
Yes, definitely. And, like, going back to Columbus is when I was looking at their numbers, like, yes, their quarterback's completing 70%, but if you really look, their numbers aren't – he hadn't thrown for, like, 3,000 yards like some of these guys. They really haven't rushed the ball for a ton either. So it's just like, okay, how are they winning games or just winning close games, winning scrappy games or, you know – until you can actually look at tape and really break them down, you know, I know they've lost two games, and they lost to 16-3 to New Orleans was one of their losses. But, you know, it's just I feel like Mandarin collectively with what they got going on offensively, defensively, they can score points, put pressure on you that way, and then the way the defense is playing, you know, limit what Columbus wants to do on offense. Because, like I say, they're not, like, one side heavy. Like, their passing game is not like, oh, you got to stop the passing game.
Right.
You got to stop it all. But, like, you know, usually when you look at high school teams, you're like, this team runs the ball. We got to shut this run game down somehow and then limit some of these quarterback completions downfield and all that type of stuff.
So that game is 3 o'clock on Friday, Sponge. I'm going to pick Mandarin again in this game. I mean, I've picked them all four rounds of the playoffs, and they have just not given any reason to say that they should be picked against. And I know you're a Miami team and playing a Duval County team, and historically that has not been good. But I like what Toby Bullock and the Mustangs have built over there. I like the cohesiveness on that team. I love the running game. I mean, I cannot undersell what Tion Weish and Deshard Westcott have meant to that offense. And I know those are not the big names you think about when you think about Mandarin. You think of Tramell and Jamie and John Mitchell and A.J. Belgrave Shorter and Drake Stubbs, those guys. But, man, sometimes in high school football, you need the glue guys.
Yeah,
and those are the glue guys. Tion Weish, Deshard Westcott, what they mean to that team, you cannot be undersold. And I think they're a big reason that Mandarin will win the second state championship in program history. So that game is at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon. We'll have all the coverage in that one for you that night. Another one, we lose two teams in the Metro Division, so we'll talk about that. Bowles goes down to Miami Norland. Close game, closer game than I thought for four quarters. But I didn't need Bowles is Bowles. I mean, they're going to find a way to play a good game. Yeah. Same thing they did against Heritage last year. 28-7, they lose to Norland.
Yeah, no surprise.
No surprise.
And they were completely overmatched. And, you know, it was a matter of, like what we said, you know, we knew that Bowles, you know, could – we knew that they would somehow slow the game down a little bit and try to make it an ugly game, try to limit Norland's possessions, try to limit them scoring. And they did that for a little while, you know, 14-0 at halftime. You know, so they were in the game in a sense, but it was just – Norland's defense was ridiculous. And then on the flip side, Norland, you know, we talked about Yapor, the transfer from Champagnat, who's been there now for 2 years at Norland, and he's still only a junior. You know, his numbers were just outrageous. They really just, you know, he just did some timely passing, just hit balls just to keep him honest. But the key stat line was what they did on the ground. 44 carries for 400 yards.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Tell me you're going to drop that on me.
9.1 a carry.
Wow.
They're averaging a first down a carry almost.
That is unreal. And that's an area Bowles has struggled with on defense.
And then on the flip side, so here's what Bowles did on the ground. 26 carries for 22 yards.
Wow. Story of the game.
Like I say, you got to be able to run the ball, and you got to be able to stop the run. And wow. When you rely on Bowles, who's, you know, usually a heavy ground game team, you know, and you can't run it for, you know, 20 yards.
Wow.
You're putting pressure on DJ to make throws. And like I said, they only had, I think, like 90 yards passing, you know, and plus you had the two interceptions. So I couldn't believe that it was 28-7 when you look at the numbers. So it was one of those games where, you know, Norland was a heavy favorite. Norland's a heavy favorite to win it all in that class. They're one of the top teams in not only the state but in the country. And I think they handled business against Berkeley Prep, who beat Bowles, you know, a couple weeks ago. But, yeah, good season for Bowles. Like I say, it was just kind of they started off tough and lost some of those early games where they were in them and had a chance to win some of those games and to make their record-wise look better. But, you know, it's still Bowles. Like I say, Bowles is Bowles. And, like, you're going to run into these problems when you play against these big dog teams until you kind of, you know, get some more dudes in there.
Yeah, not surprised Bowles made it that far. Not surprised they played them. I picked them to lose by 22. They lost by 21. Just did not have enough offense when you step up to that caliber team. And no shame in Bowles in doing that. They've been to the state semifinals five times in a row under Matt Toblin. So
that's good stuff.
Even when you start 0-3 and have a tough beginning, Bowles is still standing strong at the end. So good season for the Bulldogs. The other team in the Metro Division was Trinity Christian. And Sponge, I picked Trinity to win. They go down to Clearwater Central for the right to go to a Champagnat. And Clearwater Central came back and beat them. I was surprised by that. I picked Trinity to win, and they were up in that game pretty good.
Yeah, I thought Trinity was going to win, too, going in. You know, we talked last week, and they came out hot, you know, took the big early lead, got up to a 14-0 lead, then they got it to 20-7 at the half, and then just kind of like let Clearwater just get back in it with, you know, two quick scores and took the lead. And then Trinity fought back after that drive. I said after they were up, you know, by two scores, went down and scored themselves, didn't convert on the two-point play, so it made it a, you know, a 26-21 game. And so now you're like, all right, you're in the lead. Let's get a stop. Clearwater goes right down the field, boom, touchdown, go for two. They get it up to a three-point game, you know, to take the lead where they, it was like field goal game, but Trinity hadn't even attempted a field goal all year because they've been missing extra points. Like,
yep.
That's a whole nother topic. Again, I've talked about the kicking woes, special team stuff. And then, you know, so you're down three late in the game, and then finally you don't get you get stopped. You don't score. Clearwater goes up. Scores like in two play or no, my bad. It was literally after the 3-point lead, Clearwater got a big, huge kick return and then scored on the very next play. So you're like, just like that, when you had the lead, now you're down. And then basically they got another stop and couldn't, you know, convert. They converted a big long touchdown late to make it a little closer. But ultimately the key was late in the game with about 4 minutes to go, they had a chance to stop them, 3rd and 5, and they let the quarterback scamper out for 45 yards.
Oof.
To basically ice the game. They kicked a late field goal. You know, Trinity got it back with a couple, like 40 seconds, you know. But key stat in the game was Trinity gave up 9 sacks.
Oof.
So
offensive line has been something from beginning of the year where it was an issue.
Yeah, that's a huge problem. When you can't protect Colin, you can't create some of the run lanes. You know, they were run blitzing. You know, it was a tough sledding. You know, all that. And then on the flip side, Clearwater – rush for a ton. You know, the quarterback, he's been really good for Clearwater Central Catholic. I think he had 1,000 yards rushing. He was their leading rusher on the year, and it showed because they had him all but stopped, and then he gets out for 50 yards and, you know, sets you up for basically to ice the game, running the clock out, kicking a field goal. So just, you know, didn't have enough basically. And, you know, they were in the game, but, you know, again, you got to make the plays, and they made the stops, and Trinity didn't convert when they needed to. Jake Jones had a – Colin threw a ball like it was like on a line on like a 9-ball route, hit him right in the hands. It would have been 6. And that was like – that was the drive that basically they had to punt where Clearwater took the lead to even make it a bigger lead. So, you know, plays like that, you got to catch that and house that, and then you're back in the lead. Then you're basically back and forth. You're just ping-ponging back and forth. You know, that was where you basically lost serve. Clearwater went down and took a 2-score lead, and then now you're chasing.
So, disappointing. Yeah, disappointing for Trinity to
definitely
to do that, because I mean, they weren't going to get past Champagnat next round.
Yeah, Champagnat would beat them down. So it was all a. It's like you want to let Florida State in, to, you know?
So I mean, Clearwater Central last year went down and got they came up here and beat UC at the finish to get that state title game, but Champagnat.
This is definitely a better Clearwater team than last year's team. Because all those guys were like sophomores now. Some of these guys are like juniors and seniors. And looking at them, you know, they get after the quarterback defensively. Like, again, looking at them against Chaminade, they still don't have a shot.
Not at all. They're going to go down so, and get beat by 30 in that game. And again, Chaminade, I think, probably the best team in the state, regardless of classification. They are that good. So that's through our metro. We got Mannard still standing tall. The Suburban Sponge, this is kind of where we thought all season long that our best shot at a state champion would be, and that's St. Augustine Bradford. Bradford, a scare last week against Pensacola Catholic, 22-21 in overtime. They're down 14-0 most of this game. They're down 14-0 in the fourth quarter of this game, and ended up coming back and tying it, and unbelievable performance from Bradford being down. Offense, not their strong suit, but they get a rushing touchdown. I think Dejon Shanks had a rushing touchdown, and then Chasen Clark caught a touchdown pass from Jeremiah McKenzie to get in there and tie it. They get into overtime. Pensacola Catholic scores. Pensacola Catholic also missed a field goal at the end of regulation that would have won it. Pensacola Catholic scores in overtime. They hit the point after. Bradford scores. Jamie Rogers elects to go for two.
Rolls the dice,
and
baby.
Wow, Dejon Shanks gets in there. 2-point run. Bradford going to its first state championship game since 85. And oh, you got Coco standing there in the way for you.
That's, like I say, that was like a gut check game where, you know, you're down 14-0 when you think that, you know, you're going to be in business this weekend playing against the Pensacola Catholic team. We're going to run to the state championship, play Coco, and you find yourself down 2 scores. You know, it felt it felt like tense, you know, and I was following some of the, you know, people who were there on Twitter and, you know, watching the reports and everything. I'm just like, man, this 14-0 against a team where you struggle on offense seemed like, man, this is going to be tough. And then to be 14-0 down in the fourth was even more tough, but resilient, man. They scored two touchdowns, ascended to overtime. And then, like you say, they rolled the dice. Jamie rolled the dice. Quarterback run with Shanks. Got in there. Hey, moving on. And you just found a way to win. Yeah, but like I say, now you get Coco for the state championship game.
So, yeah, Coco beat them last year 31-21 in the state semifinals. You know, Bradford's defense has been its calling card. Offense has not been its calling card. So, if you're Bradford, do you have enough to beat Coco? And Coco –
yeah,
Coco's good, man. They,
Coco's,
I mean,
Coco's real good.
They put up a ton of points.
They should be undefeated. They're one of their losses. They got screwed against St. Thomas Aquinas.
Oh yes, that game.
Who's
right.
Also in the state championship.
Yep. So, I mean, Coco. If you're looking on paper, I think Coco has the edge in that game. Again, they should probably be 14-0. There should be two 14-0 teams. The Aquinas game. If you didn't follow the ending of that one, it was very. Very debatable. You can go back on social media and read it. There have been stories written about the ending of that game, so we can let we don't want to dive too much into that. But Coco really got hosed in the end of that game. They should be 14-0, and they should have a win over Aquinas. That was actually a 37-36 loss. But Coco does so many things well. They're excellent on offense. They're fantastic on defense. Not as good as Bradford, but they brought a lot of guys back from last year's state champion team.
Yep.
And they have got some ballers, man. Brady Hart at quarterback, 40 touchdown passes, 3,500 passing yards. They've got a 1,000-yard rusher. They've got a 1,400-yard receiver. They have got some guys. Javen Boggs is their receiver. He's got 23 TD catches.
Yeah,
so that is going to be the collision of styles when Ryan Schneider's guys meet Jamie Rogers and the Tornadoes. So, I mean, Coco is Coco every year. They've got guys that are just absolute ballers. I've seen them in games against Bowles. Mm-hmm. I've seen
them against
Rains. I've seen, they've so many guys on Coco every year. And it's so funny, Ryan Schneider, their coach, I covered him. He was a quarterback back in his day and played up here at the Shrine Bowl way back in the day, back in 99, 2000, before signing with UCF. So I always joke. I said, Ryan, you don't look like a quarterback now. You look more like an offensive lineman. He said, oh, buddy, I put on some weight over these years. So, it's good to see him and back and doing big things. But I if I'm picking a game right now, I'd probably pick Coco over Bradford.
Yeah.
Just because what they have, I mean, they have something good on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, basically it's can – Bradford score enough points.
Right.
And that's where I don't think they can. I think Coco's just too much offensively. You know, you go back to, like you said, the contrasting styles. You know, what's the number that Bradford can get to offensive, or what's the number they can get to where they feel comfortable enough that their defense can maybe limit Coco to? And I don't know what that number is. It obviously, it was 22 last week. I can see Coco scoring 21
pretty easily.
So if – on the flip side, Coco's got to be like, I don't think Bradford can score 20 on us, you know, so we just got to get those three touchdowns. So I just feel like offensively, Coco's too much. They got a little too much in the, you know, receivers, you know, catching 23 touchdowns is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know, so
I think it's gonna be tough.
I love the run that Bradford's been on. And like I say, they've hung their hat on defense. You know, they're in the game, so you can't just be like, well, this is just a walk, you know, so they got to play it, you know, so. Create some turnovers with your defense. Play as good as you know you can on D, and then hopefully you can you know do something on offense. But I think Coco's too much for sure.
I think you know last year state semifinals defense and special teams kept Bradford in that game. They lost 31-21, but you scored 14 on offense. But you really need you've got to score some offense.
Yeah.
I mean you know Coco's going to score points. I mean there's no doubt about that. It's not going to be a 10-7 game.
No.
This is more like a 35-point game.
Right.
You just have to limit that and you're not going to lock Coco down. They're averaging over 30 a game. So I don't think they hold them under that. Bradford's defense is what it is, but you got to use that defense to create points like it did last year, like it has all season. I just question whether Bradford is going to be able to hold Coco down enough and score enough to kind of keep pace with them.
Yeah, exactly.
I tend to lean Tigers to this. You know, Bradford's defense has been rock solid, better than last year, 70 points all season long. That's remarkable. The 21 they gave up last game is the most they've given up all season. But again, 21 points is your season maximum that you've allowed. So Bradford's defense is just phenomenal. You've heard us sing their praises all season long. I just worry that Bradford's offense doesn't have enough to kind of answer the bell against Coco. But that's my fear on that game. I'd probably lean towards picking Coco at this point in 2S. But again, Bradford's first state championship game appearance since 85. Jamie Rogers done a fantastic job in Stark in the 2 years he's been there. I love Jamie as a coach. And man, to gamble like that last week shows you got some big stones to do that.
Exactly. Put it all on the line. Like, this win or go home, baby.
So very good one in 2S. So that one is at 8 o'clock on Friday. And our last one, St. Augustine. We've been singing the praises since the beginning of the year.
Baby.
And I've been singing their praises all season long. They host the first semifinal since 07 last week. They win 35-14 over Dunbar. I was at that game. Dunbar just did not have the offense. I think they were pretty much in the clutch portion of the game, 0 for 5 on fourth down. Two of those inside the 20 where St. Augustine stopped them. So we've talked all season about St. Augustine's offense. But, man, defense coming alive. They did the same thing a week earlier against Choctaw.
Yeah, no, that's kind of what you got to have to make these type of runs, like we talked about with Mandarin. You know, you got to be good on both sides of the ball, you know, kind of like just talking about Coco or Bradford. You know, they're good on defense, but offense is struggling. So, you know, both Mandarin and St. Augustine, we know about their offenses. Their defenses now have taken another step in these playoffs. You're playing, you know, you got to get stingy. You got to make stops. You got to create turnovers. You got to do all that stuff. And, you know, we both thought that they were better than Dunbar, you know, on the field. And offensively, they, you know, lit it up and did what they did. But, yeah, like you said, you know, you're making those key stops, you know, forcing 0 for 5 on fourth down, all that's good. You know, all that's big time. So, we talked about St. Augustine. You know, you were really high on them before the season started. Mm-hmm. You're like, I love what this team's made of, all that stuff. And I was on the same train as you were, but we also thought maybe this team – is a year away. Mm-hmm. And then we realized real quick, like midway through, this team is ahead of schedule big time. You know, so now this is a special group of guys that can do something now. And then guess what? You're all back again next year. And you could really do something nice. So it's kind of fun of what's going on down there in St. Augustine with these guys. And, like, you know, they're balling right now. So I look forward to them winning a state title.
Yep. And I you know, Devontae Lyons has been remarkable. It's kind of like Tiant Weish, where you've got so much talent at receiver, at quarterback, but the ground game, the bread and butter. I mean, he's got 12 touchdowns in 4 playoff games. He has been fantastic running the ball. And he's had a couple fumbles, but recovered from those. I mean, he had a fumble last week inside their own 20. The defense buttoned down and did not allow anything. One of those 5 fourth down stops that they had. Drake Lusk, I love him at linebacker. He had another excellent game last week. He's got 15 tackles for loss. Michael Wright, another guy who has just played phenomenal under the radar. Defensive lineman, 15 tackles for loss. Ja'Kai Singleton, fantastic safety out there at the AUG. Julian Quintero, linebacker, fantastic. So those defensive guys have gotten it done. Jimmy Wheeler has been a guy, kind of an unsung guy, but he's had pass breakups and great defense at corner throughout the postseason. And you mentioned me talking about him before the season. I just look at this St. Augustine team. I worked in St. Augustine for 11 years, so I know St. Augustine pretty well. But it reminds me so much, this team has reminded me so much of the 03, 04, 05 team. And I've said it to Brian Braddock. I've said it to Brandon James, the offensive coordinator there. You know, the Lachlan Hewletts and the Devontaes and Carl Jenkins, those guys took some lumps last year. Yeah. You know, a lot of those guys are underclassmen. And they took some lumps, won a district championship last year, lost some first round of the playoffs to Choctaw. But it reminded me so much of what the 03 team did with Brandon James, the Matt Garrises, Jaquez Rickersons. All those guys were sophomores on that team. Lost some first round of the playoffs, got hammered in the regular season by Palatka. But, you know, you saw that potential. And by the time those guys were seniors, they went 15-0 and won a state championship. And this team has reminded me so much of that 03 04-05 era team. And I do think St. Augustine will get a championship, whether that's this year or next year. I do think they will win it. They got Daytona Beach Mainland. Mainland's seen Bartram, beat Bartram this year.
Yeah.
That's the only really local team, you know, that was comparable Reigns. They squashed Reigns when they played them. But I do think St. Augustine matches up extremely well with them. St. Augustine doesn't have a lot of weaknesses on that team.
They don't. And I dove into what, you know, we talked about a little bit Mainland versus, you know, Vanguard last week. I thought it would be a closer game. Mainland pretty much took care of business. But I looked at stat line in that game. They were 3-for-10 passing, or 3-for-13 for 10 yards passing. So, like, they didn't even try to throw it. So, I'm like, okay, they must have ran all over Vanguard. And that's exactly what they did. So, this week it's St. Augustine shut the run down. I mean, they rushed for 38 for 316 on Vanguard last week, which is when you run for 300, that means – but, I mean, that means, guess what? In my opinion, you're one-dimensional, Mainland. So, St. Aug, load up the box, baby, and let's make this quarterback make some throws because – on the flip side, we know what St. Augustine can do offensively, like you said, with Lachlan, those receivers, the trio boys, and, you know, Devontae Lyons at running back. So they're going to score some points. So me looking at Mainland, like you said, you know, the common opponent would be Bartram. You know, they played some pretty good games. But, you know, if you're telling me that a team in the playoffs only had to attempt or complete three passes for 13 yards – you know, basically they were like, well, we know we can rely on our defense, which Mainland does have a freaking D.
Mm-hmm.
So, but your main goal needs to be, like we said in some of these other games, you got to stop the run first. So the key is if St. Augustine can limit their ground game, they should be all right because I don't respect Mainland throwing the football. So load it up. Stop the run, and then do what you do on offense.
And that's, you know, Mainland, the hallmark of Mainland, you know, is not offense. They put up numbers, but it's defense.
Yeah.
And every year Mainland is like that. Travis Rowland, coach down there, he's been up at Flagler Palm Coast, did good things there. He's back at Mainland and doing good things. They lost in the championship game last year. You know they're going to be motivated to get one this year. They've got six guys with 27 tackles for loss or more. That's just that's crazy kind of numbers there. 231 tackles for loss this season.
They got the big five-star who's currently committed to Florida, but probably a decommit.
He's got 13 sacks.
Yeah.
So again, you gotta do that.
You gotta protect. Like I say, that Mainland defense is gonna come get after you. So you're gonna have to do some things to, you know, protect Lachlan so he can have time to get it to those guys and obviously create some run lanes for, you know, Devontae to hit. But, you know, I've liked what St. Augustine's done all season offensively, and like they've schemed up very well. You know, even think about, you know, when Lachlan went out, we're like, man, they got to go with backup quarterback. They didn't even skip a beat. It was just like, you know, this is a machine y'all got going on down here. Just insert this guy, put this guy in, let's go. You know,
that's remarkable. I mean, they won. Lachlan's the big guy committed to Wake, but Dylan Cook to be able to come in, you beat Bartram Trail.
Yeah,
I mean, that's an unbelievable job of coaching and production too. When your backup quarterback, I mean, in high school football, backup quarterbacks are not like NFL quarterbacks at all.
You're like, oh man, who's our backup?
So that is not it. Dylan Cook, phenomenal senior, played extremely well this season for St. Augustine and allowed him to get that number one seed, have four playoff games at home. I do think St. Aug and Mainland's going to be a banger. I think it's going to be I don't think it's going to be a 45-41 game.
No.
I think it's going to be like a 27-24 kind of slugfest.
That's what I'm agreeing with you on that one.
So I think it's going to be a good one. I think, you know, I don't think St. Augustine has seen the type of speed and kind of hard-hitting as Mainland brings. And, again, I don't know if Mainland has seen. I know they lost the end of the regular season a pretty bad
Lake Mary, right?
Pretty bad loss, 33-0 to Lake Mary. But outside of that, I mean, that was a great game from Noah Grubbs and company there. So they've seen a little bit of that, but I don't think they've seen a team comparable to St. Augustine. You know, no disrespect to Lake Mary, but I think St. Augustine is just on the level. How many teams win state championships?
I've got the Mandarin Mustangs and the St. Augustine Yellow
Jackets.
I'm gonna
agree with you. I think we have two or three win state championships this week. So St. Augustine is at 3 p.m. on Thursday, and And we got the Bradford and Mandarin games at 3 p.m. and then 8 p.m. on Friday. So it's weird that Mandarin used to be like the bigger classifications played the last game of the state championship. But
yeah, that Trinity game would have been at 10 a.m. Thursday.
I hate those 10 a.m. games. Hate those 10 a.m. games.
Yeah.
But I do. I'm in agreement with you, Sponge. I do think Mandarin and St. Augustine, I'm going to pick those two teams to win. I'd love to see Bradford make it at 3-for-3, but I worry about their offense being able to score to keep up enough with Coco. So Coco, a little budding dynasty down there under Ryan Schneider. So, man, it has flown by, Sponge. Yeah. Also, Pierce County up in Georgia. We'll talk more about them next week because they actually play a week from Tuesday up at the Georgia Dome or Mercedes-Benz Stadium. December 12th, they play up there, Rockmart. So we'll see if the Pierce County Bears can add a state championship. We actually have a guy here, who does our Gators breakdown, Dave Waters, who actually graduated from Pierce County, up there in Blackshear. So thank you for all the watchers up there. I know we have a lot of faithful watchers up there in Blackshear. So congrats to the Bears and Coach Ryan Herring. That'll do it for another edition of the Varsity Podcast, the state championship edition of the Varsity Podcast. Remember, we got three teams from Florida playing in championship games this week. We've got Mandarin on Friday at 3, Bradford on Friday at 8 p.m., and then St. Augustine kicking things off Thursday at 3 p.m. We'll have highlights and coverage of those games at newsforjax.com and also on Channel 4. For Sponge Franklin, Justin Barney, thanks for joining us.